This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the most beautiful names of Allah, the Exalted. And today we will begin with the name of Allah, Al-Hafi. Al-Hafi, the one who is ever gracious, the one who is very kind, the one who is ever aware of his servants. The name of Allah Al-Hafi occurs only once in the Quran, in Surah Maryam, ayah 46 and 47, verse number 47 specifically, where Ibrahim alayhi salam, when his father told him to go away, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Salamun alayk, peace be on you, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi, I will seek forgiveness for you from my Lord, innahu kana bi hafiyya, indeed he is ever gracious towards me, he is very kind towards me. So this is mentioned once in the Quran. Now there is a discussion among the scholars as to whether the name, as to whether Hafi is one of the names of Allah or not. Some say that it is a name of Allah, and others say that this is just an attribute. However, regardless of whether it is a name or an attribute, certainly Ibrahim alayhi salam described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Hafi. So what does this word mean with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what we're going to look at today, inshallah. Now, when it comes to the meaning of this word Hafi, Hafi is from the word Hafiya. And Hafiya means chafing of the foot. Hafiya or hafa is the chafing of the foot or the wearing out of the hoof of a camel. Why? Because of long travel. When a person is walking for a very, very long time, especially if the feet are bare, and if a person does not have proper footwear, then what happens is that over time, the foot becomes scratched and worn out, and there's cuts, etc. We also learn in a hadith that on the day of judgment, people will come while they are hufat. And hufat means that they will be bare feet. They will not have any shoes or any sandals covering their feet. So now keep this meaning in mind, that hafan is that when a person has been traveling or walking for a very long time, then their feet become worn out. This is the primary meaning. But hafiya bi, so when a person is hafa bi someone, meaning with someone, then hafawa gives us four connotations. And what are those connotations? The first connotation is that it means to show someone a lot of kindness, to show someone a lot of goodness. And he repeatedly, over and over again, to be kind and gentle and affectionate towards someone. Secondly, the word hafawa also means to manifest a lot of joy and a lot of pleasure at meeting someone. Thirdly, hafawa also gives a sense of to ask or to inquire a lot about someone's circumstances, about their state. And, you know, typically what happens is that if we want to know about how someone's doing, we just ask a question or two. But hafawa is to go beyond the usual bounds of, you know, making inquiry about someone. And why would a person be so inquisitive about someone's circumstances? It is because they care. So fourthly, the word hafawa also gives a sense of to exceed the usual bounds in, you know, in carefulness or in consideration of someone, meaning to be extremely, you know, careful regarding them. So we have these four meanings based on the word hafawa. I'll go over them quickly again. It is to show much kindness and affection to someone. It is to manifest joy and pleasure at meeting someone. It is to exceed the usual bounds in inquiring about someone's condition. And it is also to exceed the usual bounds in showing consideration to someone's circumstances. Now, if we look at the context in which this name or this attribute is mentioned in the Quran, we learn in Surah Maryam that Ibrahim alayhi salam's father was very, very harsh towards him, right? We learn that he said, قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَةِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, that, oh Ibrahim, do you dare to be disinterested in my gods? Any, how dare you even think of leaving the worship of my gods? And he said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, if you do not stop, I am going to stone you to death. Now this is a father saying this to his son, that if you don't stop your ways, if you don't stop talking about the oneness of God, then I am going to myself stone you to death. And he said, وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ, and leave me, go away from me for a very long time. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam's father is extremely harsh towards him, right? He is basically threatening to kill him. He is disowning him. He is rejecting him. And in this condition, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Salamun alayk, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi, innahu kana bi hafiyya. He's so gentle in his response to his father that may peace be on you. I will beg my Lord to forgive you, and my Lord is especially kind towards me. So Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions this beautiful name of Allah with specific reference to himself, that innahu kana bi hafiyya, that not just that Allah is hafi, but that Allah is hafi especially towards me. And he mentions this, he states this at a time of great difficulty. And this shows us that Ibrahim alayhi salam was very aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness towards him. And remember that this kindness of Allah towards a slave manifests itself in the slave's feeling nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in receiving the favors of Allah, the mercy of Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was very aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, even when Ibrahim alayhi salam was in great difficulty, when he had no practical way of, you know, solving his problem. He declared at that time that my Lord is very gracious towards me. So this means that he experienced the kindness, the graciousness of Allah, how? Firsthand. He felt it personally. And this is why he expected the mercy of Allah even when he was in difficulty. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hafi, what does it mean? Innahu kana bi hafiyya. What does it mean? First of all, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-ra'uf, meaning that he is very kind and very gracious towards his slaves. He is very gentle with them. He is very affectionate with them. He is very good towards his slaves. Secondly, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua, the prayers of his slaves when they call upon him. Because you see, the second connotation of the word I mentioned earlier is to be very happy, to show joy on meeting someone. So when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we ask him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that. What happens with people is that when we call on them, when we send them messages, etc., they get anxious, right? Or people get annoyed, or people get irritated that stop asking me, right? Stop pestering me. Stop annoying me. People get annoyed when they're called upon. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when his slaves call upon him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says this, إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِحَفِيَّةً, when he says that, سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي, I am going to beg my Lord to forgive you. I'm going to ask my Lord to forgive you. And he has hope that my Lord will answer my prayers. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, it means that he answers the prayers of his servants when they call upon him. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, it means that he is alim, that he is knowing of them. He is fully aware of his slaves. Because remember, the third connotation of the word hafawa is to inquire about someone a great deal. So when someone inquires about someone a great deal, then they have a lot of knowledge about them. They know about their circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to ask about our affairs. No, He knows about our affairs anyway, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, al-khabir. He is as-samir, al-basir. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks His angels about what His slaves have done and what they have said. So for example, when a person is unwell, when a person is afflicted by some illness, then the angels, witness what that person says to the people who come to visit him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks his angels, even though he knows what his slave said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks his angels that, what did my slave say? When a person loses their child, then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks his angels, what did my slave say? When a person, enters the time of Asr or the time of Fajr, then remember, this is the time when the angels, they change their shifts and they return to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them that what were my slaves doing when you came to them and when you left them? And if a person prayed Fajr on time and a person prayed Asr on time, then the angels say that we found them praying and we left them praying. Likewise, we learned that when people gather together and they remember Allah and they recite the verses of Allah, they declare the perfection of Allah, then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what his slaves are saying and what they're wishing for and what they are afraid of. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks his angels that, what is it that my slaves want? And the angels say that they want your paradise, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them that, what is it that my slaves do not want or they want to get away from? And the angels say that they want to be protected and safe from your punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully, fully aware of his slaves. He knows exactly what a person says, what a person does, what a person wishes for, what a person is afraid of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hafi. He is fully aware of his slaves. Then fourthly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, it means that he is very, very considerate towards his slaves. And he truly cares about them. And he's very kind towards them in the sense that he shows great regard for their for their state, for their weaknesses, and so on and so forth. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden people with more than what they can bear. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a religion that is a religion of yusr, a religion of ease. Yani, it is practical, it is observable, it is easy to observe, it is easy to follow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about us. Every single command that Allah has given, every single decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made regarding us, that is in full consideration of our strengths, our weaknesses, our circumstances, our struggles, and so on and so forth. And it is because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considerate of his slaves, and he cares about our circumstances. It is because of this reason that he provides us what we are in need of, right? He gives us what we are in need of. So for example, traveling from one place to another, yes, we can do that on foot. Of course we can, but it would be extremely difficult for us. So we learn in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 7, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنفُسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us animals, means of transportation, so that they can carry our burdens, our baggage, etc., to lands which we would not be able to reach except with great hardship. Yani, if we were to walk all the way there, it would be extremely difficult for us. So it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind towards us that he has provided us these means of transportation. And then it is because of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards and protects us from dangers that sometimes we are not even aware of. We learn that in Surah Yusuf, ayah number 64, the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, when he, when his sons were asking him that, let our brother go with us, we're going to take care of him, etc. Their father said that, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا, that Allah is the best protector. He is the one who guards and protects his slaves. And we see that it is because of this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially kind towards his slaves when they're in difficulty. You see, it is because of this reason that when we are unwell, we are allowed to perform our salah while sitting or while laying down. It is because of this reason that when we're not able to find water, we are allowed to, purify ourselves using mud, right? By making tayammum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially kind towards his slaves, especially when they're in difficulty. And we see that it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi that he makes even adab, a mercy for his righteous slaves. And it's something that could be very painful, something that could be very difficult, something that could even cause death. But for a righteous slave, it would be a mercy. We learn, for example, Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about, a group of people who are destroyed. And she asked that, what if there are among them those who are righteous? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, something to the effect of that people will be raised on their intentions. Yani, for those righteous believing individuals, that adab will not be a punishment. Even though it will be something very painful, it will in fact be a mercy for them. And we see this, that the same tribulation could be experienced by multiple people. For one person, that tribulation is a punishment, is an expression of Allah's wrath on them. And for another person, that same tribulation could be a source of mercy and a source of reward and great ranks for them. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, what is it that we should do? What is our share? First and foremost, we must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially kind to us. Yani, when we believe in Allah, when we worship Allah, when we say La ilaha illallah, then you should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially kind to you. As Muslims, yes, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, he is kind towards his slaves, but don't just think that Allah is kind to his slaves. In addition to that, think that Allah is kind to me. Allah is affectionate towards me. you know, experience that firsthand, believe in that, and recall and notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings on you. And because of that, you will feel nearness to Him. And you will begin to find everything as a blessing, as a mercy. Even the most difficult and strenuous things in life, you will find them to be a mercy for you when you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind towards you. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِحَفِيَّ. And he considered the situation that Ibrahim alayhi salam was in. He had been disowned by his father, threatened by his father. His father told him, get away from me, leave me, right? Or I will kill you. Consider that loneliness that Ibrahim alayhi salam must have been experiencing, right? That isolation, that sense of, that feeling of abandonment. But he said that my Lord is especially kind to me. So when you remember that Allah is kind to you, then you begin to view even the most difficult things in life as a mercy for you. And this is something that will fill the heart with contentment. And this is something that will fill the heart with the willingness to accept the decree of Allah, the decision of Allah. Then you will not take it as something that was against you, but you will take it as something that was for you, in your favor. So consider, for example, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, his situation in Mecca became so difficult that it was not safe for him to live there anymore. He had to leave Mecca. Right, and for any person who is forced to leave their home, you know, who is forced to leave their home country or their city, this is something that is extremely difficult. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, look at all the goodness that came out of that journey, right? And everything else in his life, in the seerah, we see that yes, with difficulty there was ease, but then after difficulty was also ease. So take this personally, remind yourself and believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind to me. Allah is especially kind to me. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, then this means that we should be aware of Allah's kindness at all times. When we are experiencing difficulty, and also when we are experiencing good times, right? Generally, when we are in difficulty, we try to soothe and comfort ourselves by reminding ourselves that yes, Allah is very kind. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me that, He brought me out of that difficulty, etc., etc. But we need to remember this even when we are experiencing good times and blessings. You know, for example, you are enjoying, good food. Remind yourself, be aware of the fact that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness towards you. That you are able to enjoy that good evening, with your family, with your friends. You know, you're enjoying good food, good company, etc. Recall and feel the blessings of Allah. Be aware of them. We learn in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Keep Allah in mind in times of prosperity, and He will be mindful of you in times of adversity." Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, this means that we should believe that we have not been forgotten. We should believe that we have not been abandoned. We should believe that we have not been neglected, that we are not alone, no matter how isolated and lonely we may feel. Because again, remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salam said this. This was a time when he had been rejected by his entire community, by his own father. So when you feel alone, when you feel that no one even knows what you're going through, because sometimes the trials or the tribulations are such that you don't even have the heart to or the strength to share what you're feeling. Or you would like to talk to someone, but you cannot find anyone who is willing to listen to you. Or you don't feel like you can trust anybody, right? That you want to share with them what you are experiencing. Now, this is a very, very difficult thing for a person that on the one hand, they're going through some difficulty, and on the other hand, they're actually alone, right? They don't have a shoulder to lean on. They don't have a friend to talk to. And days go by, and no one even bothers to find out how they're doing. No one even bothers to show them love and care, right? So people experience such loneliness and such isolation, but it is important that at this time we remind ourselves that innahu kana bi hafiyya, that people may have forgotten me, people may have abandoned me, people may have neglected me, but you know what? My Lord is fully aware of what I'm going through. And my Lord is especially kind towards me, right? Innahu kana bi hafiyya. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafid, this also means that we should look forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness. Because innahu kana bi hafiyya, hafi means ever kind. So He wasn't just kind to me in the past or presently. He will also be kind to me in the future. So be hopeful. Have hope and have that expectation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be kind to you. And we see this, that when Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned this in his ordeal, look at what followed next. In Surah Maryam, in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salam had been rejected by his father. Now he was alone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him Ishaq and Ya'qub. Ishaq and Ya'qub, a son and a grandson. وَكُلًا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. And each we made a prophet. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُم مِّن رَحْمَتِنَا. And we gave them of our mercy. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُم لِسَانَ صِدِقٍ عَلِيًّا. And we made for them a reputation of high honor. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, yes, he was rejected by his people, by his community. And for a person who is an outcast, yes, you would think that very soon they'll be forgotten. But that's not the case with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He has not been forgotten. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a reputation of high honor. So look forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness. Then next, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafid, this means that we should also show kindness and consideration and regard for one another. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He decides, who could dare to question Him, right? Because لا يسألوا عما يفعل. He is not to be questioned about what He does. And even if the whole world was upset with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, yani what could they do? What could they do to reverse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree or to avoid it, right? We learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all of the people and all of the jinn were to try to bring benefit to Allah, they would not be able to do so. And if they tried to bring harm to Allah, they would not be able to do so. All right. So Allah subhanahu, you know, when we say subhanallah, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any imperfection. And this also means that no one can reach or can manage to cause harm to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely above us, right? He's completely beyond us. He is not in need of us. Yet He is kind towards us. Yes. Yet He is, you know, He shows regard for our needs, our weaknesses, you know, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. So, you know, who are we that we think that we don't need to show any regard for what the people around us are going through? You know, the difficulties that they're experiencing, the wounds that they have, the burdens that they're carrying. You know, show kindness. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind to us, then we should also show kindness to the creation of Allah. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, this also means that we should, you know, as people, as slaves of Allah, we should inquire about one another. We should not inquire in the sense that we, you know, become curious about people's personal affairs and we start, you know, interfering in their personal lives or we start pursuing things which are of no relevance or benefit to us. No, but that, you know, for example, if you haven't seen someone in a long time, then find out how they're doing. Find out if everything is okay. You know, especially these days when a lot of people are working from home or studying from home, not able to travel, not able to, you know, see people that they usually would see, meet people that they would usually meet. And just because you haven't seen them for 6-7 months doesn't mean that you completely forget about them. No, as believers, especially, we should be concerned for one another. And it doesn't take long to send a message, you know, that I'm thinking of you, hope all is well, praying for you, etc., etc. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He asks His angels that what did my slaves say? What did you find my slaves doing? This is not because Allah needs to know. He already knows. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expressing his love over here, his special mercy over here towards his slaves. And just like that, you know, we might know how certain friends, relatives, co-workers are doing. We know that they're existing, right? We know that they're alive because we see their emails, etc. But has there been any contact, any personal contact? This is something that we need to pay attention to, because when people, you know, feel that no one is contacting them, no one is in touch with them, then this is something that makes them feel abandoned and neglected and forgotten. And this is not how people should be feeling, especially at this time when people are isolated, when they're alone, you know, and especially with the winter coming in. This is a time when people's mental health is especially, you know, declining, especially people who are prone to, such feelings of loneliness, depression, anxiety, etc. We should reach out and we should keep in touch. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hafi, how are we supposed to call upon Allah by this name? Now, there isn't a dua in the Quran or in the Sunnah that mentions this name of Allah specifically. However, given the meaning of the name al-hafi, that especially that we should remember that Allah is kind towards us when we are in difficulty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we're going through, even when we have been abandoned by people, right? This means that in difficulty, we must call upon Allah. We must have great expectation of Allah, that we should, you know, eliminate those feelings of loneliness by knowing that Allah is there, right? By remembering Him, by talking to Him. So there is a beautiful dua, or dhikr rather, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha that, shall I not teach you words that you can say in distress? And when you are in distress, do you want to know what words you can say? And of course, this is, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching her something that would help her in her time of distress. Right, and remember, Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha, she experienced a lot of distress in her life. We learn, you know, about Asma radiallahu anha that she was actually first married to Ja'far radiallahu anhu, and they immigrated to Abyssinia, and life in Abyssinia was not easy. Living as an immigrant minority in a people whose culture is different from yours, whose religion is different from yours, this is not easy. And especially living in that fear, because remember, the people of Mecca actually, you know, they came to Abyssinia to take those Muslims back, right? So the Muslims in Abyssinia, they experienced a lot of difficulty, Right. And then finally, when they migrated to Medina, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They lived with that constant sense of, you know, we missed out on so much. And we learned that once Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, he said to Asma radiallahu anha something that really upset her, you know, something like we made hijrah, you know, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're closer to him than you are. And Asma radiallahu anha got very upset with that. And she complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then very soon after that, her husband Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he died in the Battle of Mu'tah. Right. So Asma radiallahu anha personally experienced great difficulty in her life, a lot of distress. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, shall I not teach you words that you can say when you are in karb, when you are in distress? And what are those words? Those words are, Allahu, Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. That Allah, Allah is my Rabb, my Lord, I do not associate anything with him. Notice what we're saying over here is, first of all, we're repeating the name of Allah, right? Two times, Allahu, Allahu. And then we're saying that Allah is my Rabb. Allah is my Rabb. You see, you're making that personal connection over here. Just as Ibrahim alayhi salam said, innahu kana bi hafiyya. He is especially kind towards me. Yes, Allah is the Lord of everything, everyone, but He is also my Lord, right? And when you make that personal connection, then you feel cared for. You don't feel alone anymore. You know that there is someone who knows what you're going through, and who has, you know, who is kind towards you, who is able to remove your difficulty. And when you remind yourself that is Allah. Allah, who has complete power, who is the most merciful, who is the most wise, who is ala kulli shay'in qadir, then you don't fear that you have, or that difficulty that you have is no longer very, very big for you. It kind of becomes minimized because you remind yourself of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allahu, Allahu Rabbi, and you say, La ushriku bihi shay'a. I do not associate anything with him. And you mentioned tawheed, right? That Allah is one. And you state your dissociation from shirk, right? From any shirk, any kind of associating partners with Allah. And remember that relief comes from what? It comes from tawheed, from believing in tawheed, and from calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Allahu, Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. The next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will look at today, inshallah, is the name of Allah, Al-Latif. Al-Latif also means the one who is very kind, the one who is fully aware. And the name Al-Latif occurs 7 times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La tudrikuhu al-absar, wa huwa yudriku al-absar, wa huwa al-latif al-khabir. That vision perceives him not, but he perceives all vision, and he is al-latif, the subtle, al-khabir, the one who is fully acquainted. Now, al-latif, like many other names of Allah, fa'il, this is sifa mushabbaha, and it is from the verb latufa, latufa or latafa. And the verbs latufa and latafa, they give several connotations. The first is to be fine and discreet, okay? To be fine, to be discreet, to be subtle. When something is there, but it is difficult to perceive. It's hardly there because it is so slender. It is so thin. It is so fine. Then that thing, that object is latif. Okay. Secondly, latufa also gives the meaning of elegance, okay, and gracefulness. Elegance and gracefulness, beauty. And thirdly, it gives the meaning of kindness and gentleness. Okay, when someone is kind and gentle. So basically, you have a combination of gentleness, okay, and discreetness, okay, gentleness and discreetness. And this is what makes something elegant. When someone is rough or rude or harsh or loud, then that is not beautiful, right? But when someone is discreet, quiet, gentle, then this is something that makes their actions very graceful and elegant and beautiful. So this is the basic meaning of the word latif. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif, what does that mean? It means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most subtle, meaning that people are not able to perceive Allah. We are not able to see Him, right? That is not possible. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. We saw the ayah earlier, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ, that vision cannot perceive Him, that we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. While the fact is that Allah perceives all vision, He knows exactly what our eyes are looking at, what direction we are looking at, what object we are looking at. وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, and He is اللَّطِيف. Right? The name of Allah, اللَّطِيف, is mentioned over here because we are not able to see Him. He is hidden from our eyes. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learn that تَعَلَّمُوا أَنَّهُ لَنْ يَرَى أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى يَمُوتَ, that you should know that none of you is able to see His Lord in this life until He dies. It's not possible to see Allah in worldly life. Even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went for Mi'raj, right? The night journey, the ascension, Isra wal Mi'raj. Some people claimed that he saw Allah. And when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about this, she said, no, he did not see Allah. And she was really upset by even this question, that how dare you even assume something like that? This is not possible because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif, this means that He is the one who encompasses all subtleties. No matter how fine, how discreet something is, how hidden it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. He encompasses all subtleties. So He is acutely aware of even the most minute and hidden things. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of even the most hidden things. There are things that we try to hide. We go and hide ourselves, from people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the most discreet and hidden things. So nothing at all escapes the knowledge of Allah. No matter how insignificant it may seem, and no matter how fleeting it may seem. Like, for example, dust that is floating in the air, we don't pay much attention to it. We don't care about where it came from, what that particle is, right, and where it's going to land. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what it is, where it came from, where it's going to land, right? When it comes to bacteria, viruses, right, tiny, we're not able to see it with our eyes. But al-latif, He is the one who perceives all subtleties, even the most minute, hidden, discreet things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what they are and where they are. In Surah Luqman, ayah number 16, we learn that Luqman said to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ, that, oh my dear son, if there were something the weight of a mustard seed, something as tiny as a mustard seed, and that tiny object is فَتَكُن فِي صَخْرَةٍ, is somewhere buried within a rock. Within a rock it is buried, أو في السماوات, or it is floating somewhere in the sky, أو في الأرض, or it is somewhere in the land, in the earth, يأتي بها الله, Allah will bring it forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete power over it. He knows exactly what it is, where it is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to bring it forth. And he said, "Inna Allaha latifun khabir." Indeed, Allah is latif, khabir. He is latif, meaning he encompasses all subtleties, and he is khabir. He is fully aware and acquainted. And this means that he knows the subtleties. Yani, sometimes something appears to be very evil, right, or neutral, right, but in a very subtle way, it could actually be good, right? You know, something may appear to be useless, but in a very subtle way, it might bring some kind of benefit, right? Like, for example, you might be struggling with a certain, you know, matter in your life, okay? And you're wondering, you know, you think that there is no good in it, right? You want to get rid of it. You want that situation to go away quickly. But it doesn't go away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that it should be a part of your life. But you see how that difficult situation is teaching you lessons that you would not otherwise learn, right? It is bringing in you changes that you would not otherwise bring. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif, and He knows what is best. He knows what will bring benefit, right? We learn in Surah Mulk, Ayah 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. That does he who created not know? Of course he knows, especially because of the fact that he is اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, right? Then it means that he knows what we hide in the chest also. The secrets that we keep, the words that we keep, the feelings, the emotions that we hide, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of that. And then he accomplishes his will in the most discreet manner, right? Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha, because he knows all subtleties. He knows how to accomplish his will in the most subtle and discreet way, that people don't even feel those changes happening, and those changes happen, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to come about in the most discreet way. And this means that he examines the deeds of his slaves very carefully as well, right? For example, when a person is performing a certain act of worship, and a person experiences difficulty in performing that act of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the struggles that the slave is going through. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn about a person who gets up in the night. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيُعَالِجُ نَفْسَهُ إِلَى الطَّهُورِ, that he disciplines himself in obtaining purity, meaning in making wudu, the person experiences difficulty, right? But he doesn't give up. And sometimes that difficulty is in merely touching the water, right? Or in bearing the cold temperature of the water, right? Or in some places, it is about going to find that water, right? But, you know, a person is going through that difficulty, and he makes wudu, and the Prophet ﷺ described, you know, the way that this person makes wudu. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his angels, "Unzuru ila abdi hada," that look at the slave of mine, yu'aliju nafsahu, that he is disciplining himself, that he is really striving with himself, so he will get whatever that he asks for. So Allah is al-latif, he encompasses all subtleties. This includes the unnoticed difficulties that you endure, things that people don't notice, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notices. He knows what you have done. Right. Sometimes you really have to fight against yourself. Right. You have to, fight against your negative thoughts. You have to make yourself, do what is right. And it is difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif. He knows exactly the internal battle that you had. Right. We learn in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should mention the verses of Allah which are recited in your homes, and also the wisdom, meaning the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches that he recites the Quran, but you should also do that. Inna Allah kana latifan khabira. Indeed, Allah is latif, ever subtle and acquainted. So sometimes, you know, the work that you're doing is literally behind the scenes. Okay, it is in your home and nobody knows about it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. The Quran that you recited, the Quran that you you know, memorized, the help that you're offering, you know, the volunteer work that you're doing. People may never find out because your name is not even written anywhere. Your name is not even mentioned anywhere. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're doing behind the scenes, right? Inna Allah kana latifan khabira. Then thirdly, the name of Allah al-Latif also means the one who is kind. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind? He is, first of all, kind towards his slaves, right? We learn in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 19, Allahu latifun bi'ibadi, that Allah is kind towards his slaves. But remember, I mentioned earlier that the word gives the, you know, that there is a combination of kindness and also gentleness, right? Kindness and gentleness. And that is what makes the action graceful and elegant and beautiful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind to his slaves, but he is kind in the sense that his kindness and mercy reaches you in a very gentle way, okay? How? Let's look at an example. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 63, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَتُصْبِحُ الْأَرْضُ مُخْضَرَّةً إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Do you not see that Allah sent down rain from the sky and the earth becomes green? Indeed, Allah is subtle and acquainted. So, yes, there are those times when there is a storm, and yes, those storms are, you know, a warning for us, especially when they cause destruction. But storms are not the norm, right? Generally, what comes down from the sky, you need the water that comes down from the sky is rain, right? And raindrops, even if they're really big and they're falling very quickly, the impact is not harsh, right? It is not destructive. The way that rain falls is so gentle. You can walk in the rain. You can sit in the rain. You can drive in the rain. And look at the impact of that water that falls from the sky, that the earth becomes green, right? So gently, this water comes from the sky, the earth becomes green, and all of a sudden, you know, you have food, you have beautiful things to look at, beautiful colors around you, right? So many different varieties of vegetables and fruits and herbs, etc., that bring not just flavor, but fragrance and nutrition. So look at how gently his mercy, his blessings reach us, right? This is the lutf of al-latif. This is his kindness. And look at the beauty also with which he gives us blessings, right? That if you think about it, it's not just one kind of food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And imagine the variations. Just think about, mint. Mint even has so many different variations. Allahu Akbar. And each kind has its own distinct flavor, its own distinct, fragrance. Look at how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and how gentle and elegant his kindness is. And his kindness also reaches the slaves in ways that they don't even know and in ways that they don't even expect. Right, so we see, for example, in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 82, about the wall that Khidr restored, and he explained that under that wall was a buried treasure that belonged to two orphans, and the father of those two orphans was a righteous man, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that that treasure should be preserved until the boys are old enough to, you know, to retrieve it and utilize it. Because if it was, you know, if the wall collapsed and the treasure was exposed, then the people of that town would, if they were so greedy, so selfish, that they would take it all, and the orphans would be deprived of their right. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was kind to this righteous slave, that even after that righteous slave died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the children of that righteous slave. Right. Then in Surah At-Talaq, ayah 2 and 3, we learn, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, that whoever fears Allah, then Allah provides him from where he does not even expect. Right. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes for him a way out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides him from where that slave does not even expect. He does not even imagine. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 37, we learn about how every time Zakariya alayhi salam came to see Maryam, he would find with her food. And he asked her, where did you get this from? And she said that this is from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially kind towards his righteous slaves. Sometimes they're aware of the blessings, of the mercy, and sometimes they're not aware. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he creates ease for them. We learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 216, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It is quite possible that you dislike something, but it is actually good for you. And it is quite possible that you love something, but in reality, it is evil for you. Allah knows and you do not know. We learn about Yusuf alayhi salam, right? His life, that how he was, you know, taken away from his father, his brothers, you know, threw him in the well, and then he was sold into slavery. He ended up in Egypt, and then he was, you know, he learned many things, and then he was put in prison for a crime that he never committed. And then the king had a dream, and the king insisted that he wanted an interpretation. And the servant of the king remembered, you know, Yusuf alayhi salam, because he had been in the prison with Yusuf alayhi salam. And then that person called Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam gave the interpretation. The king insisted that he wanted this man. And Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, he made sure that his record was cleared. His innocence was known before he came out of prison. And then the king is so happy with him. The king says, you know, I want to appoint you exclusively for myself, that I want you to work with me. I want you to be my personal advisor. But Yusuf alayhi salam said, no, rather appoint me over the storehouses. I want to manage the food, right? Because of the famine that was going to come. And so Yusuf alayhi salam was given that position. And then look at how his brothers came because of the famine. Allahu Akbar. This, and you see, Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Indeed, my Lord is subtle in what He wills. And he, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted happened, but in a very subtle way, right? The brothers were trying to harm Yusuf alayhi salam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought good to Yusuf alayhi salam, right? In the women, the wife of Aziz, wanted to harm Yusuf alayhi salam, but look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him and brought good to him. So this is the lutf, the kindness of Al-Latif towards his awliya, towards his slaves, that he creates ease for them. He brings them goodness from where they cannot even imagine. And then we see that this name Al-Latif is paired with Al-Khabir. Yani several times in the Quran, the name Al-Latif comes with the name Al-Khabir. Khabir is also, you know, it also means the one who is aware. So Allah is Al-Latif Al-Khabir. Yani He is aware of the most subtle and the most obvious, right, matters. That He is aware of the external and the internal. He knows what you're feeling and He knows your circumstances, right? He knows your inner battles and your external battles. So Allah is Al-Latif Al-Khabir. When Allah is Al-Latif, what are we supposed to do? First of all, we should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear Him even though we cannot see Him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif. Yes, we cannot see Him with our eyes in this life, right? But we still believe in Him and we still fear Him. And this is something mentioned in the Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ, that indeed those people who fear their Lord in the unseen. And one of the interpretations of this is that they fear their Lord even though they do not see Him. They live, they act, they engage with people, they worship Allah as though they can see Him, even though the fact is that they cannot see Him. They have not seen Him. But their iman, their awareness is so high. So such people, lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun kabir, for them is forgiveness and a great reward in Surah Mulk. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif, it means that we should remember Him and fear Him in regard to the most hidden and private matters even. And even when we're alone, and even when we manage to hide certain things, you know, behind passcodes, etc., we should still remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I'm hiding here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what I'm keeping private over here. You see, there are certain apps in which you can save things just for your eyes, right? For my eyes only. Yani, nobody can see it. Nobody else can access it. This is information or images, etc., that are only for you to see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that. So there's no hiding anything from Allah. So we should be careful that whatever it is that we are trying to conceal from people, is this something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would approve of? Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif, this means that we should accept His decree. We should accept His legislation because He is ever aware and ever kind. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not overburden the slaves with more than what they can handle. And likewise, He knows what is best for us because He knows the subtleties. We don't know those subtleties, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And this is why we should trust Him. And then finally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif, it means that we should also show kindness towards one another. If Allah is so kind, then why can we not be kind? Why do we assume that we are so great and so good and so powerful and so pure and so excellent, right? And so better than others that we don't need to show kindness and compassion towards others? What foolishness is this? What kind of arrogance is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind. This means that we should also be kind, towards strangers and towards relatives and towards those who are weak. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that Awsani Hibbi, that my beloved, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, instructed me to do five things. And one of those things is that arhamul masakina wa ujalisuhum, that I should be merciful towards those in need and I should sit with them. I should not think that I am, too above them, that I should not sit with them and I should not show compassion to them. No, I should show mercy to those who are weak and I should sit with them. The Prophet ﷺ advised Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu to do that. So how should we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these names? Again, there isn't a dua in the Quran that mentions this name specifically. However, when we look at the meaning of this name, first of all, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif, we are not able to see Him in this life, we should call upon Allah to give us the privilege and the pleasure of seeing Him on the Day of Judgment when we meet Him. We should make dua. This is a long dua. It is in Sunan al-Nasa'i. And part of this is وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْضَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ, that, oh Allah, I ask you for a good life, a comfortable life after death, and I ask you for the pleasure of looking at your face. And grant me the pleasure, the privilege, the joy of looking at you, of seeing you. Secondly, another way that we can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name, or at least the meaning of this name, is that, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Latif, is fully aware of what we conceal, of even the most subtle things. So when we commit sins which may be hidden from people, or which may be very subtle, right? Because remember, a person can say a statement which a person doesn't pay much regard to. He doesn't realize how serious it is, but he says it. But because of that statement, he will fall in hell, right? Because that statement is so disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes we say things, we do things without even realizing, and they could be so destructive for us. So we should ask Al-Latif to forgive us for sins that were done in secret but are known to him, or that were done without paying attention and they are known to him. Again, this is a long dua which the Prophet ﷺ would make in the night in the Tahajjud prayer. And part of this dua is, Allahumma laka aslamtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ilayka anabtu wa bika khasamtu wa ilayka hakamtu. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ. That, Ya Allah, forgive me for what I have done already and what I will do later. وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ. What I did in secret and what I did in public. Ya Allah, forgive me all of my sins, those which I have done in secret and also those which I have done in public. And then finally, we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Latif, for ease. Because He is ever kind. He is very gentle towards his slaves, so he can create ease in our affairs. So when we experience difficulty, whether it is difficulty in learning something, difficulty in dealing with sometimes our own children, right? Then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. That, oh Allah, there is no ease except in what you make easy. وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ إِذَا شِئْتَ سَهْلًا. And you can make difficulty into ease whenever that you want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind. Ask Him for His kindness, for the ease that He can give in our difficult matters. Inshallah, we will conclude over here and we'll continue next week with the following names. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.